number 18. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger's." This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, his own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now drop down to verse 27, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Jesus said, "My sheep," in verse 27, "hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I want you to think on this thought this morning of a sheep in Christ's care. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I bow my knee and heart before you this morning, oh Father, I pray that your word of God will go forth with great power today. Oh Father, I'm so thankful that those who are saved and born again are a child of God. But yet, Father, as the great shepherd, Father, we are a sheep in his pasture. Oh, Father, help us as we think about that metaphor today of being a sheep in Christ's pasture. I pray, Father, for anyone that could be here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And, Father, they're trying to get to heaven by some other way, by climbing over a wall, by keeping good works, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you convict their heart of their need to put their complete faith and trust in Jesus. So if they were to pass away this very next moment, Father, they know without of a doubt they'd be in heaven. Not because of anything they did, but because of what Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary. Taking our sin payment, taking our death and our hell, Father, he voluntarily died on the cross for us. So, Father, I pray you work in the hearts of those who are lost here today. Save them, Father. And I pray for the Christians as well. May we be challenged in this idea of a sheep in Christ's care. So, Father, we ask these things in your blessed and wonderful name, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. See, sheep have a special relationship with the shepherd that is characterized by dependence upon the part of the sheep and characterized by dependability on the part of the shepherd. And this is the picture of the relationship of our good shepherd wants to have with us. And of course, when we think about our chief shepherd or the great shepherd or the good shepherd, we're speaking of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last message I preached last Sunday, we saw some of the characteristics of a sheep. In this lesson, we're going to focus on the sheep's relationship to the shepherd. You see, sheep are very valuable to the shepherd. And Jesus used this illustration of one lost sheep of one flock out of 100 to show just how precious one individual soul is to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Matthew 18, verses 11 through verse number 14, "For the Son of Man," speaking about Christ, "is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth unto the mountain and seeketh that one that is gone astray? And if it be so that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth of that sheep, that of the 99 which went astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Boy, understand this morning that Jesus Christ had a divine desire for you to be saved this morning. I want us to consider our relationship to the Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep in Hebrews 13 and verse number 20. Notice, first of all, that if we are going to have a meaningful relationship with the shepherd, number one, we're going to have to come to the shepherd. We're going to have to come to the shepherd. You know, we tend to avoid certain types of people. For example, most people dread spending time with those who are critical, those who are complaining, those who are harsh, those who are backbiting, those that always seem like they have a wet blanket put over their head every day, 24/7. But on the other hand, there are people who we enjoy to be with very much so, and we feel drawn to those people. We're encouraged by those people. Oftentimes, we're even inspired by those people. And to those who are thoughtful, and those who are giving, and those who are joyful, and those who just like to have fun inside the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus drew people almost everywhere that he went. They came to him, first of all, for healing. They came to him for spiritual guidance when they didn't know exactly what to do. Sometimes they came on behalf of others, and it wasn't even about themselves. It was about their son or their daughter, and they came seeking Jesus to touch their son or their daughter. Some came that just needed help in their family situations, and they came because they wanted to hear the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. Understand this morning, no matter where you're at today in this life, Jesus Christ is approachable to you. No one who came to Jesus with a sincere and a willing heart was ever turned away. As a matter of fact, Jesus rebuked the disciples because they turned away the children. And he said, "Suffer the children to come unto me." Listen, if you come to Jesus in a sincere and a willing heart, you will not be turned away. Whatever the need is, Jesus is able and Jesus is willing to meet that need. It's as simple as the story of the leper who came to Jesus and said these great words, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." That's all he said. He didn't go into some long rigmarole about where he's at and why he had this, and it's not his fault. And Jesus simply looks at the man and says, "I will, thou be clean." And he touched the leprous man, and immediately the Bible said the leprosy left from him in Luke 5, verses 12 through verse number 13. You see, today we find that Jesus' arms are still open as a loving shepherd who's always there to meet the need of his sheep. And there's two things, I think, that as we think about our loving shepherd that we ought to apply to our life today. And the first one is simply this. We ought to come to the shepherd, number one, for salvation. Come to the shepherd for salvation. You see, the greatest need that anyone has is found in Jesus Christ. Listen, we have a prayer list here, and I'm thankful that we have a prayer list. And excuse me. We list on that prayer list physical needs of people, health needs of people. But understand this, they're important, don't get me wrong. But the more important part is to know whether they're saved or whether they're born again. And oftentimes, if you're not careful, you'll blow right over to salvation to get to the people that you know about. And my friend, the greatest need that anyone has is this need of salvation. True salvation can only be found in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, Jesus said these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Notice, Jesus didn't say, "I am a door." Jesus didn't say, "I'm one of the doors." As a matter of fact, he said, "I am the door." If you think about it with this simple illustration this morning, it might help you comprehend that. Some rooms, just like our church auditorium, has several doors that you can go in and out of. We have two in the back and two in the side, and there's one over here that takes you through a closet area and go out the side door right over there. Understand this, but when it comes to salvation, there only is one way. There only is one door. We only can enter into the presence of Jesus Christ by putting our faith and trust in him. In John 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, we're saved by God's grace. It's something that we don't deserve. It's through faith, putting our trust in what he's done for us on that cross of Calvary. You see, the scriptures make it abundantly clear. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. I don't care what you may have been taught. I don't know what you might have heard on television, but understand this morning that keeping the Ten Commandments, although that's a good thing, I think we should strive to do that as born-again believers in Christ. That doesn't get you to heaven. Being baptized doesn't get you to heaven. Doing good deeds deeds doesn't get you to heaven. Listen, coming to church doesn't get you to heaven. You say, well, how do you know that? Is it in the Bible? Because nobody's here. That's why, amen. If they thought you could get to heaven by coming to church, this place would be packed out. But God says that is not the case. Those things do not allow you to enter into heaven with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that John, the Revelator, writes these words. And this is the record that God has given to us. Get this now, eternal life. And this life is in, get these next words, his Son. Where is the life found? It's not in the commandments. It's not in works. It's not in a mixture of grace and works. It's found solely in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. So it goes on to say in verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let me just break that down to you for just a moment. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me help you. You do not have eternal life. You do not have the life that Jesus Christ is speaking about. You say, well, I never heard this before. I never rejected him. It makes no difference because the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and all come under, all have sinned and all come need to be saved. And so understand this morning that the scriptures teach that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. In Titus 3:5, we find these wonderful words. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit of God. You might remember from last week's sermon that sheep are totally defenseless. Now, we did make a little disclaimer to that fact that there is some rams, some old rams that got those big tusks that just kind of roll around like that, and they can defend themselves a little bit, but basically their only defense is against other rams that want to hone in on their herd, amen? And so that they're not really able to fight lions and panthers and things like that, and so they're defenseless, and when they are threatened, their only chance for protection is for them to run to the shepherd. And only when they come to Jesus Christ and we put our trust in him, in his blood that he shed for you and I, we can find the forgiveness and the salvation from God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, we should not only come to the shepherd, number one, for salvation, but then notice something else. We should come to him for our strength. See, just as the sheep are dependent on their shepherd for everything, you and I ought to be dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus spoke about this relationship in John 15 and verse 5, and he used these words in the analogy of vines and branches. And he said, I am the vine. He said, ye are the branches. He that abideth not in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. But without me, ye can do anything. Understand this morning that without Christ, you do not have the power to accomplish all that God has for your life. I don't know what God's will is for your life. I know what his revealed will is. Number one, that you be saved. Number two, you get baptized. Number three, you join a local independent fundamental Baptist church and then begin to serve there and begin to minister and work and tell others about Christ. I do know that is God's revealed will for everybody. But understand this, I don't know that specific thing that God has for you, but the truth of the matter is we can't do anything apart from him. Just about the time you think you got everything figured out and everything covered, guess what? Someone changes the question, and then you don't know where you're at. Truth is, I thought about Paul for just a moment. He discovered that after his salvation experience, that God allowed him to have some specific weaknesses in his life so he could always rely on the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 12, and we know that Paul petitioned the Lord three times to take away this particular thing from him, and God says that he would not do that. You see, Paul needed to come to the Lord for strength, and the great as the apostle Paul was, how much the more do you and I, as God's children, as his sheep, think that we don't need to go to the shepherd to have his will revealed to us? I like what Isaiah writes in Isaiah 40 and verse number 28. It's a challenge to all of us that we can find and know God's strength. The Bible says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Somebody say, glory, hallelujah, amen. Our God doesn't faint, he doesn't get weary. Listen, as his sheep, sometimes we might do that. As a matter of fact, my wife shared with me a one of those stupid animal videos on Facebook, right? And I'm not fond of animals, so whatever. But anyhow, this was a pretty funny one. A mom and dad elephant were crossing the road, and a little baby elephant was following along behind him. Guess what? That little baby elephant had a hissy fit right on the side of the road, fell down, spun around. He refused to go. And finally, after a long time of a hissy fit, mom and dad said, "Well, you can stay here. We're going across the road." And they went across the road, and everything was fine. But understand this, is that sometimes when we think about being weary and worn out, we can't make it. That little elephant probably thought, "Man, we've been walking for weeks and months and days, and I can't take it anymore." Listen, when we get that way in our own personal life, we don't have to do it in our own strength, because our shepherd never gets weary. He never faints. Thank God for that. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He's there for us. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. You say, "Well, what about me? I don't have any strength." Listen, you might be a little weakling. I can remember when my brother and I, we used to have a magazine called Boy's Life. I don't even know what's out anymore. And we were in Boy Scouts, and we got this magazine. In the back of that magazine always was this guy. Man, he was like Mr. Atlas. Man, he had muscles like this, a little small article about this big. And how oftentimes we thought, "Well, if we just write and send him $6.95, we could find out how we can get like that." Listen, you don't have to read the back of Boy's Life. You don't have to go on the internet. All you have to do is look for our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Great Shepherd. And my friend, He will give you strength. Notice verse 30, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail." Some of us who are over 50 like me say, "Amen, glory to God. I'm glad to see them young bucks faltering just a little bit." But they, get this in verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You understand this, that even Jesus at some times needed strength from above, particularly as they neared the cross. In Luke 22 and verses 41 through verse 43, the Bible said, "As he," speaking about Christ, "was withdrawn from them, a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed." Now he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done." And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Now listen, I'm not going to promise you, if you're out mowing your grass and you can't even, your mouth is dry as cracker juice, and you're so dried out you can't even tear from the dust blowing in your eyes, that angel's going to come and give you a glass of water. But maybe your wife will come out and do it, amen. Maybe you can put one in the shed with you. I'm just saying this, that even Jesus at some point in his life needed to be strengthened. You see, our shepherd invites us personally to come to him for strength. He says in Matthew 11 and verse number 28 through verse number 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And notice these words, "And I, the great shepherd, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Boy, what a tremendous passage of scripture. You see, the sheep needs the shepherd, and we need the Lord. And how precious is it that Jesus invites me and you to come to him today? First for salvation, and then secondly for strength. I encourage you today, run to him with open arms. If you need to be saved, I run to him this morning when we have the invitation and cry out to God. We'll be happy to take the Bible, show you how you can enter into a wonderful and joyful relationship with him. Maybe you're here and you're weak and you're broken down. Listen, you can turn to him and have him give you strength, as he promised to do so. Well, not only should we come to the shepherd, but then notice, secondly, we ought to follow the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. You know, once we come to the shepherd, we need to follow him. That just makes sense, doesn't it? But hey, the truth of the matter is, too many people who call themselves the sheep of Christ's pasture, they might go to the shepherd, and that's a big might, but when they get there, guess what? They're not really interested in following him. You say, "Well, why do we do that, Pastor Dave? Why do I need to follow him?" Well, because number one, he's the creator and he's the owner of both the sheep and the pasture. Guess what? They belong to him. I belong to him. You belong to him. So we have this idea that we need to follow him in every aspect of our life. Psalm 103, I've quoted it before, but I'll say it again. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You see, with the heart of a true shepherd, God delights in guiding us. You understand this morning that God likes to guide us. He delights in it. Psalm 78 and verse 52 says this, but made his own people to go forth, look at those next two words, like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. So as we follow the shepherd, we need to, number one, hear his voice. See, our sheep are drawn to a shepherd's voice. And our text verse teaches us that the sheep can tell a difference. If I would go and call your sheep, guess what? They're not going to come. They're going to completely ignore me. But if I call my sheep, they're going to come to me. And they know the difference between the shepherd's voice and a stranger's voice. The sheep are going to run from a stranger, but they'll follow their shepherd. And there's a lot of voices in the world that want you and my attention. They're not a shortage of opinions and advice. Listen, all you have to do is just turn the TV on, walk into a bookstore, go on Amazon, .com, and you'll find that there is an abundance of opinions, an abundance of advice for you to take. So if you're having trouble making a decision in your life, let me help you. You can find advice from a lot of different places, but some places are better than other places. Let me illustrate it to you this way. If your car is making a noise that it's not supposed to, do you go to 1,000 different websites and do research for over 2 or 3 weeks trying to figure out what's wrong with your car to get the help that it needs? Or can you do this? You could go to GMG Auto down on Jefferson and get the opinion of a qualified mechanic to tell you exactly what's done. Or you could do this. You could turn up BBN radio just a little bit louder in your car so you don't hear the noise anymore. Some counsel will lead you in the right direction, but guess what? Some other counsel, maybe even well-meaning, could lead you in the wrong direction. The only counsel that's guaranteed to work is God's counsel from his word. So the question that you and I have today is simply this: how can we distinguish our shepherd's voice from all the voices around it? And I'm glad you asked that, because I want to tell you how you can know that this morning. Number one, hearing God's voice begins with a willing heart. There's no sense of saying, okay, Lord, what'd you have me to do? And the Lord whops it on you and you turn around and go the other way. I don't think if you come with a wrong heart and a wrong attitude, not willing to do what God would have you to do. I'm not God, believe me, but I believe that the precepts are taught in God's word. He's not under any obligation to tell you what he wants you to do if you're not. He knows you're not going to be willing to do it. And just as the shepherd doesn't put the sheep on the leash to lead them, the shepherd has given us a choice. God doesn't force us to follow him. So are you willing to follow as he leads? In our text scripture this morning, there wasn't no leash. The shepherd went, the sheep followed him. That's the way it ought to be. We have to listen carefully this morning for God's voice. Listen, God most of the time doesn't shout. And the loudest voice that we probably hear is not going to be from God. It will probably be from the world, the flesh, or the devil. I think the prophet Elijah experienced this, the gentleness of God's voice. During a great trial in his life, he had a special visit from God, and he was alone in the cave on Mount Horeb. And the Bible says in 1 Kings and verses chapter 19, verses 11, 12, the Bible says this. This is after his great victory on Mount Carmel. He said this, and he said, go forth, stand upon the mountain of the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. You say, well, that's pretty impressive. Yes, it is. It is pretty impressive. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But guess what? The writer here tells us that the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. So you're thinking, oh my goodness, so where was he at? He wasn't when the rocks got broken up. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. Notice the last part of verse number 12. The Bible says this, and after the fire, a still, small voice. See, the Lord didn't speak through the wind. He didn't speak through the earthquake. He didn't even speak through the fire. He spoke in a small, still voice. You know, maybe you're kind of like me as you get a little bit older. your hearing is not as sharp as it was in the old days. Sometimes that's good, brother, because we can just pretend like we don't hear anything, you know. But then sometimes it's bad when people are giving prayer requests, and I say, I'm really sorry, can you repeat that one more time for the pastor? But the truth of the matter is, it's easier. God, most of the time, works through that small, still voice. He'll never guide us contrary to the commands and principles of God's word. So if you're listening for God's small, still voice, and you think you got an answer, and it goes against the commands and the principles and precepts as taught in God's word, guess what? Someone else was whispering in your ear that was not the Lord. When we need God's guidance and we need his direction, start by studying all that God's word teaches on the subject. You see, we don't like to do that because that's work. I mean, that's some work to study the Bible. We just want to go ask a friend, what do you think God thinks about this? That's what we do. I don't care what you think, although I might. I care what God thinks about it, because you might not think along the same line as God. So start by studying all that God's word teaches on that subject. Then listen carefully. Get this now. In church. Listen carefully in church during the preaching and teaching of God's word. Ask him to give you direction that you need. Seek counsel from godly people. Now listen, let me help you now. There are some people that appear to be very godly, and they appear to be very pious, and they can answer every Bible question that you have. They might even be smarter than the pastor. I don't know, but the truth is, just because they're Bible smart doesn't mean they're godly. It doesn't mean they really know God's word. Seek counsel from godly people who know God's word. And then get hold of this. Not only do they know it, but they don't have anything going on in their life contrary to God's word. If someone appears to be pious and has their ducks all lined up, but their home life is wrecked and ruined, guess what? I wouldn't listen to them. Because listen, if they're wrong on their home life, they're wrong on there. If they're stealing from Uncle Sam, guess what? I wouldn't listen to them. I don't care if they do have everything else figured out in their life. If they're wrong in that area, they could be wrong in other areas as well. So be careful about that. We need to follow the shepherd, not only when we hear his voice, but then notice this, when we obey his commands. You see, obedience to the shepherd's commands could be a matter of life or death of a sheep. And you see, the shepherd can see dangers that are lurking around sharp corners and down steep cliffs that the sheep cannot see. And he guides them in the right direction. You know, it's often been said, he guides them in the wrong direction, just like God sees what we don't see, and he knows the best direction for you and I. I love the verse in Isaiah 55 in verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so your ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I read this verse, and I say, oh God, please forgive me. There has been times when I thought my ways were higher than your ways, and my thoughts were higher than your thoughts. You see, our shepherd knows ahead of us what's best for us, and we ought to submit in obedience to him. You see, Jesus explained that we cannot say we're following the Lord if we don't obey him. So if Jesus taught us that, listen, I don't want to hear you say, well, I'm following the Lord, but you're not obeying him, because that's a misnomer. He says this, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So in other words, why do you call him master? Why do you call him the shepherd if you're not doing those things that the shepherd's telling you to do? The apostle John put it a little bit different in 1 John 1 and verses 6 and 7. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, guess what? The Bible says we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So thank God for that. Someone said this, your talk talks and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your walk. Boy, how true of a statement that is. You know, we can say that we're following the Lord. We can pretend that we're following the Lord, but our actions are going to be the real test of our obedience. So don't tell me you're following the Lord, but not being obedient to him, to the known commands found in his Bible and what he has revealed to you in your life. James gives us an illustration of simply just hearing God's word. And he compares it to a man who looks into a mirror, and he looks into the mirror and he sees things and sees changes that he needs to make, but he turns around without making those changes. Now, I know that ugly is ugly, and we can't change ugly, amen. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about looking into the mirror of God's word and having revealed some things in your life, and you all of a sudden just turn around and say, well, that's not for me. He puts it this way in James 1 in verses 22 through 24. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or in other words, a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. So we find that Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. James writes and he says, be ye doers of the words and not hearers only. It's not just enough to know the Bible. It's not just enough to have the mental assent of God's truth. We have to allow those truths to change our lives. Think of how stupid it would be for you and I to come to a loving shepherd who loved us, who's willing to put his life on the line for you and I, and did on the cross of Calvary. And how stupid it would be for us to approach him, ask him a question, get him to answer to us, and then refuse to follow his leading. Boy, I think that would just be sad. But all of us, truthfully, have been there and done that at some time in our life. You say, Pastor David, have you? I'm ashamed to say that I've been there and done that before. I've gone to the shepherd. I knew where to go, but I didn't like what he said. And I wanted him to change his mind. I wanted to come back in a week and see if something else would be just a little bit different. Guess what I found out? I'd had a miserable week, and God still said the same thing. And I went back again for a third time. Guess what? God still said the same thing, and I was even more miserable. Finally, I just said, okay, God, I'm coming to you. I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to do what you would have me to do. And we've all been there and done that. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're at the valley of decision inside of your life right now. Maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning, and you've been rejecting his leading. How foolish of you to do that. If you're here this morning and don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I would encourage you this morning to understand that Jesus Christ has died for you on the cross of Calvary. And because of the sacrifice that he made, he provided you a way that we can have our sins forgiven. And to top that all off, he gave us a home in heaven, amen. He calls us a child of God. You understand that we're adopted into God's family? I understand what adoption is. My brother and I have been adopted. We understand what it means to be adopted. And I said this before without even, you know, being facetious about this thing, that I thank God that my mother, my adopted mother, adopted me. I thank God for that. I appreciate that. I understand what it means when God adopts us into his family. Boy, what that transaction, that place when the Holy Spirit of God comes into our lives, that's exciting. Well, we think about this thing, and we'll close with this. So, Christians, do you love the Lord? Do you truly love the Lord? If you love the Lord, we didn't have time for point number three this morning, but understand that if you love the Lord, you'll love others by doing for them. You'll love others by living for others as well. You know, the shepherd-sheep relationship begins when you come to the shepherd for salvation. Jesus invites us to come to him then for every need, every trial, everything that we have, even our daily sustenance, he tells us he will provide for us. He said, if I provide for the birds, don't you think I'm going to provide for you as well? We need to properly nourish that relationship with our shepherd. We must listen to his voice. And then once we hear his voice, we must commit to follow him in loving obedience. And by doing just that, we can more accurately portray Christ's love for others as well. We are sheep in Christ's care. Let's start acting like it. Let's be the church. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us and your love to us. Oh, Father, we come now to the most important part of this worship service, this time of invitation. Oh, Father, we're inviting those who don't know Christ as their great shepherd, as the chief shepherd, to come and repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in what Christ has done for them. Oh, Father, don't let one soul leave here today, Father. Don't let one person leave today, Father, without knowing Christ in a real and personal way. And then, Father, for the Christians as well, Oh, Father, we pray that they would help understand that they really, truly are a sheep in Christ's care. So, Father, would you help them to know and understand that when he calls, we need to listen, we need to be obedient, we need to more accurately portray his love to others. And help us, Father, let's start acting like it and help us to be the church. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you this morning. We pray these things in Christ's name.